As I was thinking about all the dread and fear that is going around, and I understand that it is a very serious disease, that many people are dying, I got to looking at the death from automobiles as a result of drunk drivers in 2019 was 10,000. Total deaths in automobile crash in 2019 was 38,800. Total number injured in automobile accidents serious enough to require medical attention in 2019 was 4.4 million. And as I thought about these numbers, I thought about this, and this is just my thinking, my musings, for whatever it's worth. As far as I know, no one has even suggested that we should quit driving automobiles because of the drunk drivers that's on the road. Because the chances of dying in an automobile, we take precautions, and some precautions are even mandated by law for our safety. But we don't just quit. And so, when we think about the total number of deaths from this virus in the United States, 2,047 so far. It's since, I think, January 1st. And as of yesterday, the total number of cases in the U.S. was 121,000. Now, that number, over 3,000, have recovered already. These are just some thoughts that I had as I was musing yesterday about things that are going on in our society today that we have to give some very serious consideration to in regard to what our response is going to be. And some have made some decisions that they'll not assemble due to health reasons for some. Some maybe no underlying health reason, but in an effort to protect themselves, and certainly I respect those decisions. Each one of us must make these decisions for ourselves. As we think about these kinds of things, I'm reminded of a passage over in Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. We're going to consider those in just a moment. We face in our lives many disturbing things. Many of them, obviously, are common to any age. We have sickness, death, natural disaster. Some peculiar to our day, we have threats of terrorism, we have nuclear war, we have environmental pollution, inflation, recession, unemployment, AIDS, cancer, heart disease, road rage, drive-by shootings, and now this dreaded contagious disease. And it goes on and on. Job made the observation, Job chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Such things as this affect us in different ways. Sometimes anxiety, sometimes fear. Other times it causes depression. Someone has called our age the age of neuroses. And yes, we as Christians can be affected. Sometimes we might murmur, we might complain, or we might simply exist in a state of joylessness. And we talked about it in our Bible study this morning, and Brother Bruce did an excellent job in directing our study. Peter said, we are to rejoice. And James talks about the fact that we ought to rejoice when we fall into diverse temptation, trials. We talked about Paul and the things that he endured. Yet Paul had joy. We can have joy even in very troubling and very demanding times in regard to various situations. And some are not as disturbed by such things as others. They experience the same things that devastate others, but they don't seem to be as distressed over it. They have the same financial crisis, same diseases, same uncertainties, yet they still find joy and stability in their lives. So why the different reactions? Is there some source of strength that some have found that maybe others have not found? To me, at least part of the answer is found in Isaiah chapter 33, there at verse 6. Let's read verses 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. And strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. The stability of your times, Isaiah talks about. Unstable conditions characterize the last several months of our lives. They're not very much different from things that transpired during Isaiah's day. I suspect that probably they didn't have the coronavirus that we have today, but they had various different diseases that affected them on a regular basis. We remember many times leprosy is dealt with in Scripture. It was a dreaded disease, yet people lived with it. Some of them had to, as we would say today, had to be quarantined, separate themselves from the general population as a result of the disease. So we're not in a world by ourselves and facing things that no one else has ever faced, similar circumstances, maybe not the same disease, but similar circumstances. I believe the same help is available today that was available then. I want you to think with me just a little bit about the days of Isaiah. Around 700 B.C., the kingdom of Judah was facing perilous times. The nation of Assyria was advancing, conquering kingdom after kingdom. And the kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity, taken into Assyrian captivity. As Assyria drew near Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem were undecided as to where to turn. Some said, we need just give up to the Assyrians. Others said, no, we need to make an alliance with Egypt so the Egyptians can save us. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, when they were making the assault on the city of Jerusalem, they said, now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it, so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust in him. This is Rabshakeh, the spokesman for the Assyrians. He said, if you're trusting in Egypt, it's just like a piece of weed that you broke off and it has a sharp point. If you lean on it, it'll just go into your hand. In Isaiah chapter 31, beginning of verse 6, Isaiah said, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Now who was that? Who were they to turn to? The one whom the children of Israel had deeply revolted. They revolted against God. Isaiah reminds them they need to turn back to God. Not form alliances with other nations. Not just give up to the Assyrians. But put their confidence, their trust in God. The passage we read from Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Remember? And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord, or the respect of the Lord, is his treasure. And so Isaiah said, don't do either one of these. The key to your salvation is to trust the Lord to provide the stability needed after all seems to be lost. He exhorts, put your trust in the Lord. The New King James Version speaks of wisdom and knowledge as the stability of your times. And of course, that's the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord spoken of in this context. The New American Standard Bible said, he shall be the stability of your time. The New International Version said, he shall be the sure foundation of your time? God is the answer. And so years from Isaiah's age, the counsel is still true. In troubled times, the Lord provides the stability of your time. Same answer in both instances. Now and then. Stability is provided by the Lord. It comes through wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your time, the New King James Version says. This helps us face life. It guides and protects us from life's pitfalls. There's a passage over in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, we'll not take time to read all of this particular passage in chapter 2, verses 6, goes through the end of the chapter. But as Solomon began in chapter 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Wisdom, understanding. Solomon lauds wisdom and understanding in this context. It gives comfort and confidence. Let's go just one chapter over in Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read verses 21 through verse 26. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy feet shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. If you have wisdom and understanding, it helps to guide and protect you from the pitfalls of life. It gives you comfort and confidence in times of turmoil. So where do we get this wisdom? James chapter 1, verse 5, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberally, and upbraid him not, and it shall be given him. Your wisdom, ask God. He gives wisdom. Wisdom has been described as being knowledge plus experience coupled with prayer. And James continues there in James chapter 1. He continues reading in verse 6. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The one who does not ask in faith without doubting, that's the one that's going to receive the wisdom. Through salvation, the strength of salvation, the New King James Version said, salvation of the Lord helps us face death. We realize that it is the Lord who saves us. And so we can face the circumstances of life, whatever they may be. Paul had a very strong hope. The 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning there in verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he's talking about his body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Now drop down to verse 5 and continue reading through verse 8. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest is simply the down payment. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul, what are you willing to do? I'm willing to die. That's what he said. I'm willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This is the kind of attitude that the Apostle Paul had. As you continue reading, as he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is in this context, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Which ones are we looking for? The temporal or the eternal? We have this strong hope, as Paul wrote to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8, beginning there at verse 31, reading through verse 39. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes the intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As children of God, there should be absolutely nothing that would shake our faith. It does sometimes, but it shouldn't. Because we have a hope that goes far beyond anything that this world has, or anything that this world can bring to bear upon us. Wisdom, knowledge, and salvation provide the stability that we need. Wisdom and knowledge provide the stability to face life. There are a lot of things that happen to us in life. Wisdom and knowledge are the things that we need to face the difficulties of life. Salvation provides the stability to face death. The New American Standard Bible says it is a wealth. The New International Version said a rich store. Salvation provides us this wealth, this rich store that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We just must understand that our stability in whatever we do, whatever we face in life, must come from the Lord. And so think a little bit about the key to this stability. It is the fear of the Lord. Notice again in Isaiah chapter 33, there in verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure, this rich store. This wealth, the fear of the Lord, is the key to this treasure. He's talking about reverence and respect for God. Fear or reverence for God is absolutely essential. We must have it in order to have wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, there verse 7 said it is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we don't want to be thought of as being fools. None of us do. If we are not fools, then we're going to reverence God, give him honor and respect that he deserves, because that is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's where it all starts, having respect and reverence for God. Fear of the Lord is essential to receive salvation. It's necessary to be accepted by God. Remember,
what Peter said in Acts chapter 10 there, verse 34. He opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but that in every nation, he that feareth him," that's the idea of reverence and respect, this new God, "he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Reverence for God, fear of God, is necessary for us to be pleasing to God. The message of salvation is given to those who have reverence or fear of God. In Acts chapter 13, verse 26, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God," to you, who's the you? Whoever fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. The message of salvation given to those who fear him. It's necessary, Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 12, "for spiritual growth. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Why is fear or reverence for the Lord so necessary? Solomon, Proverbs chapter 16 verse 6 says, "By fear or reverence for God, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." You're going to get away from evil? You're going to get away from the devil? The only way you can do that is having this healthy respect, reverence for God. Standing in awe of God. Reverence for God and his righteous judgment is an effective motivation. By departing from evil, we turn to God. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. This place of refuge that Solomon talked about in Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. A place where we can be safe, regardless of what may assail us. When we turn to God, the fear of the Lord, respect and reverence for him, becomes a source of tremendous blessings, such as wisdom, knowledge, salvation, confidence, refuge. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is, as Proverbs 14:27 says, a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It's what gives us the ability to depart from the snares of death. The stability of your times. The essence of what we've talked about in our study this morning is this. Those who lack stability in troubled times do so simply because they lack the wisdom, knowledge, and salvation of the Lord. And they lack these things because they do not have the fear of the Lord. Reverence and respect for him. A proper fear of the Lord would prompt them to turn from evil and turn to God. There, they would find his knowledge. They'd find wisdom. They'd find salvation. And that, in turn, would provide them the stability of their time. There's a song titled "God's Promise." It's not in this book. I looked and looked, couldn't find it. But in that song, the first verse says, "God has not promised skies always blue, flowers spring pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain." Verse 2, "But God has promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way, grace for our trials, help from above, unfading kindness, undying love." Then in verse 3, "Though we have mingled sunshine and rain, clouds decked with rainbows, joy mixed with pain. Let us still trust his mercies right on and sing his praises all the day long. With such stability, we can rightly say along with the writer of the Hebrews 13 to verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Obviously, I understand that this virus going around, I don't think it's some man-made, man-created virus. There's been some speculation about that, but it doesn't seem to be true. And this is not something man had deliberately forced it off on us. It's something that happened. Disease apparently transmitted from animals originally to humans. But something we have to deal with and understand that God is our helper. And whatever may come upon us, we can put our faith and our trust, our confidence in him that he will see us through whatever may happen. If death comes, we have a building with God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, why don't we let the Lord provide the stability that we need for these troubled times? That's the answer to all of them. Allow the Lord to provide the strength and sustenance that we need. And that comes, obviously, from his word, the scriptures, that we have in very convenient form. So many different means of obtaining a lesson from God's word. As Bruce pointed out, we can even listen to it on our phones. We don't have to read it. We can just listen to it. We have it so accessible. But are we really depending on the Lord to be the stability of our times? If you're not a child of God, then you can't have the Lord as the one who provides the stability for your time. In order to be his child, you have to submit yourself in obedience to him through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You can become his child. If you have become his child and you have allowed the things of this world to dominate your life in such a way that your faith is challenged, that your faith is weakened, go back to the Word of God. Find wisdom, knowledge, and salvation will be the stability of your time. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come and we stand and sing for your encouragement.